is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514 720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Yes, it is. It's the Radio City Legends. Welcome along wherever you're listening, all over the Northwest. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp here for the next hour, taking your calls, and somehow we have a feeling that John might just be a little bit busier throughout the course of this programme. What do you reckon,
I'd like to think so, because he's had it so easy.
Well, you've had your moments this season, haven't you?
Not easy moments, no. Now it's time for him to earn his money.
I thought you should have won about 3 or 4 at Palace.
John, did that ball cross the line last night?
Oh, I was well behind. Three penalties, ball over the line, big time.
I thought, to be fair, in the whole game, I thought it was too windy to play football.
That's
really windy.
That's a little pop at the manager there. I'm going to read it. Right, basically, our producer, Dave, who's an avid Blue, writes a few notes which he thinks will be appropriate for the show. So this is what he's put. Yeah. He's put Everton, nothing to talk about. Liverpool, falling apart. Klopp's a fraud. Subs are poor. Too many crosses. Windy. His Wolves important. Sturridge was awful. That's Dave's guidelines for tonight's show. Where do you want to start, John?
Well, if anyone wants to talk to Dave, we can arrange that as well.
Look what happened last night.
God, it's much the same as what we see quite a lot at Anfield lately. Teams just come. Me and Sharpie just talking about it there. You know, they played the width of the 18-yard box. Chelsea done it for the first time when the famous game, when we lost 1-0. They get 5 or 6 the width of the 18-yard box, then the other 3 or 4, then one up front who tucks in. And it's virtually impossible. You've got to be some magnificent piece of play to get in behind, because they sit deep as well. So the way we were playing early in the season and all these little intricate moves, triangles, it was coming off brilliant. But you run into a brick wall now. It's very hard to get in behind. It's got to be something special. So the only way we really look like scoring it is, well, don't even look like so. It's crossing to the box, which is very difficult because we've got no big men. We've got all, fairly small type of players. And it's got to be a precise cross and someone making a run the box. Notoriously, we only have about 1 or 2 in the box when a cross has come in. But it shows you when the last goals we've scored was a Lucas corner. You know, when Wijnaldum headed against City, and 2 goals against Firmino came from crosses. So I think the manager, the plan B has got to be get more men in the box, get the quality across, get the width, get the quality across, and get, not just 1 or 2 men in the box, 3 or 4 men attacking the ball in the box. You get 1 goal, you get yourselves ahead, and then it's a different ball game. They have to come out. You know, it's as simple as that, because there's no way through at this moment in time. It's really, really tough for Liverpool to get in the way we were early in the season.
Sharpie, you watched it. Have teams sussed Liverpool?
Listen, I think going into the game, I think most people would have said they'd have fancied Liverpool to score and win the game over the two legs. He's thinking 1-0 down there, you think come back to Anfield, they'd win. You know, not necessarily comfortably, but they'd win. But I think you've got to give credit. I know we're talking about Liverpool and, struggling a little bit at the moment, but I think you've got to give them credit. Because as John says, I thought they set their stall up right to go behind the ball and make it difficult. And then when they did get it, they broke fast, they broke quickly. They had chances as well, but maybe should have done better, and Liverpool's goalkeeper has done well in a couple of occasions, but they set up the stall. So we've said it time and time again, when a team sets up to play that way, it's very difficult to break them down. You need a touch of magic. Now, if Liverpool had scored earlier, early in the first half, it would have been a totally different game. But I think the more the game went on, Southampton were happy to do what they'd done and hit them on the break. And I thought, credit to Southampton. People will talk about Liverpool being poor and this and that, and certain players not turning up. But I thought a lot of credit deserved to go to Southampton.
Yeah, they did very well. Is it coincidence? We played against United, failed to beat us twice. City, Everton, Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea. Then you look on the other flip side of that. Southampton's beat us twice. Burnley's beat us once. Bournemouth's beat us once. Swansea's beat us once. And Plymouth took us to the wire. Now, that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. For whatever reason, and I don't know, I'm no psychologist, them teams, you should be beating. They can play as well as they want, but you should be overall, and we're not. And it's a little bit of a worry.
Do you think it's all down to, and they can't all be down, but the absence of Manny, who was like...
Yeah, that's not helped, yes.
He might have been the one that gave you the spark. If the others weren't on the game, with his pace and directness, he was an outlet. And I think they're missing that. And people talk about Sturridge and people coming in and Origi. It's not a Manny. So I think we talked about African Cup of Nations hurting teams. Mm. Liverpool never had a lot, but they had the very important player out the team. So it just shows you how reliant they are, you know, to play in an outlet and get him. Yeah. If he's playing, he gives you the pace. He then forces him back.
Well, that, going back to what we said before, Liverpool, they give Liverpool the width because they know they can handle the ball. With him, you can't give him the width because he's so quick. He's so tricky. He gets in positions where the other players can't. Like Savrigi, he's totally struggling. He's lost all his confidence. Sturridge, I don't know. You know, there's so many players out of form at this present moment in time. But Manny's a massive miss.
Because it can't all be about one player,
But the balance helps, Steve. Yeah. The balance is massive because of him. Right. You know, his pace stretches other teams a little bit and allows maybe Lallana, Coutinho to get that extra little yard because they're overemphasising Manny. Where there's someone out there now and they're thinking, well, we don't have to worry about him too much because he's not got the pace, he's not going to stretch us in behind. Mm. And it's quite comfortable for teams.
Okay, if you've never rung the Radio City Legends before, you want to get involved, please do. John's here.
Is that
for
me
the
finished
next
now?
0151 472 0967. Let's start off the Avalanche with Steve in Norris Green. Welcome along, Steve.
Good evening, lads. How are we?
Steve.
Hello, Steve.
All right, boys. Graham, you can sit back. Put your feet up on the desk,
lad. Hey, he's got a big panatella and he's got his slippers on. Polar neck jumper on the lorry, yeah?
Right, where can I start? I thought, absolutely, he's got to have a big clear out, I think, either by the end of this month or in the summer. I wouldn't waste me money on that Sturridge. Even Sian never done a thing last night. Not a thing. I'm going on about Mane. At the end of the day, you know, one man really doesn't make a team. What to do with them all? You know, the back three, back four, whatever you want to call it, midfield, three, four. He was just going backwards and along, making diagonal balls along the back four, back middle four. You know, we've got no penetration at all. So, you know, what's going on? We had them days when Rodgers was there. I thought Klopp was going to change everything. But earlier on, I remember coming back on this show a couple of months back, and I think Steve asked me the question, do you think we'll win trophies? Not playing like that, we won't. Far from it.
Yeah, well, you know, you got your point. The one thing I'll say, you know, you mentioned Brendan Rodgers. This time last season, we had 31 points. Klopp hadn't been here long. We got 45 points now. That's 14 points more. You know, we are going through hopefully a blip, you know.
Blip started at Bournemouth, John.
Yeah, to a certain degree, it did. Yeah, we had a couple of good results after that. But you know, that showed a few cracks. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's not all quite doom and gloom, and there's nothing going to happen, Stephen, this month. You can write that off. Not a chance. There's not going to be no movement with players. I'd be very, very surprised if that happens. But certainly, you're all right. It's like every team. The manager finds players out, and then you know, in the summer there will be movements. Absolutely, he'll know where he wants. We need maybe a striker or two. With a big presence, you know, someone who's not just good going through the middle, someone from wide areas that you can get balls into the box, you can attack them. You know, I'm just saying, a la Harry Kane type of player who's very good from crosses, because if people are sussing us out in the way like Klopp likes playing his football, then you've got to get another way, which is getting wide and balls into the box. Yeah. And, you know, you maybe need a different type of player who can play the intricate stuff if need be, but also is a big target man as well as a really good footballer, you know, Steve.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying with John, but the thing is last night is that there was too much ball getting played back and along the back four, using Henderson as a wall, the likes of that Lovren and Matip, the ball was getting played between them three, creating triangles. He must have been thinking, oh yeah, this will draw Southampton out. Southampton were quite happy sitting back there.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah, if it's not done quick enough, Steve, you know, the passing.
Quick enough, and
one thing what happened it's happened the last few games. When we do, early on the season, when we did pass it across to switch the play, it was as a sharper ball. It was a sharp ball. It was into the feet. The balls at the moment are going square to the feet when they should be in front of the player to run on, which makes a big difference, believe it or not. You're talking about split seconds here. When we play football, and early on the season we were doing it, if you get a ball, you don't hit it square or behind the player, you know, unless he's really being threatened. You play the ball in front of him so he's running onto the ball. And we didn't do enough of that yesterday.
The front three early on the season was it Lallana, Mane and Firmino. They were the front three early on the season. Okay, he's got to put somebody else in because we've lost Mane. But the likes of Lallana and Firmino, as soon as he starts mixing it around and, you know, gives an allocation for like Sturridge having a go or Origi, then it all goes to pot.
Steve, we're going to have to move on very quickly. Yeah. Just a quick point. You're not losing faith in the manager, are you?
No, I just think the lads should understand, not the lads in the studio, the lads that wear the red shirts, you know, all right, we've got players away on other duties, but, you know, let's try and perform.
Show more passion, Steve. Show a little bit more passion, mate. That's what you're saying, aren't you?
Yeah, but Rushy was on the telly last night, and you should have seen Rushy. He was fuming last night. Fuming. Mm. And well, I don't blame him.
We all were, weren't we, really?
What it's all about.
You know, to a semi-final and you know and lose the way we did, and you've got to give Southampton credit in many ways. You know, it's a little bit hurtful because it should have been a little bit more passion on the field, I thought, you know, a little bit.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. What did you make of the two penalty shouts? Because Jurgen Klopp was absolutely adamant, wasn't he, that one of them was a penalty.
I thought the one in the Rigi at first wasn't. He dived, but then saw the replay and I thought, yeah, that was a penalty. I don't know whether the way he went down influenced the referee, but I thought the Rigi one, after watching it in the replay, I thought it was a really difficult decision for the referee. You know, either way, whichever you want to see it. But once I saw the replay, I thought it was a penalty.
I think the referees, I can assume, we always talk about referees. At first, you know, with his momentum, I thought, if he didn't get the ball, then he's... In the modern day football, I'd say, well, yeah, it's a penalty. But the linesman had a better view for me than perhaps Atkinson. Mm. Atkinson's not that. He can't keep up with play now, to be quite honest. He's miles away, so he's just probably had a guess. He's behind bodies. But the linesman perhaps might have seen it better. The lad said he's panicked, the lad. He's saying he got the ball. He didn't get the ball. Mm. But then, yes, Origi made the most of it, which, you know, in them situations, you know, if he's knocked him off balance, then he's entitled to go to ground. It's 50-50 for me, I think, you know. Some referees would have given that if they were better placed. And say Atkinson, I don't think he's the fittest now. And hopefully he's off his pop at the end of the season as well, because he's, you know, he's one of the worst out there.
That's somebody else in John's bad books.
It's a big black book, that one. We are going to take a short break. Just again, quickly, before we get to it, something about atmosphere. Now, you thought the atmosphere was okay.
It was all right, yeah.
But in the past few games, the new main stand has been pictured with a lot of empty seats for a good 5-10 minutes after half-time.
That's been happening all season, Steve. That's been happening all season. Right. I think one of the problems are, because we're involved, but that's where we sick the ex-players. Once you go in at half-time, you know, you go into your table and you can have a coffee or a beer or wine or port, whatever you want, and big load of cheese and biscuits. And I tell you what, when it's cold, I was like, last
you have
night,
a lot of cheese.
Oh, yeah, you have a lot of cheese. You have a lot of coffee. You might throw a brandy in last night, the way things were going a little bit. But there's no little buzzer that you're getting grounds to let you know that the players are coming out. And you can really get into it. And next minute, you know, I've missed 5 minutes of a couple of games this year because of that. You know, so some people might want to come out. They might be just going to have a free ale, know what I mean?
Listen, that's not just Anfield. That's modern day. That could cost a modern day football with the lounges and everything else and the hospitality. You look at Club Wembley and the abuse that they got for that when England played, and behind the dugouts wasn't full at all. Even in cup finals, it's the same sort of thing. Yeah. So it's a common day thing now. You know, in the past, would it happen? No. Nowadays, unfortunately, that's what happens.
Chappies, right? And it doesn't look good, you know. Mm. Just glad, just as well, the cameras are facing the other way, because it would look pretty bad. You see Arsenal, you watch Arsenal, it's the same at Arsenal.
Yeah. Well, we've been to those grounds and seen them empty, haven't we? Man City, Arsenal.
It's just as you know, Roy Keane called them, the prawn sandwich brigade, that's what he called them. But it's corporate, you know, that's the way people, if they paid a lot of money for the tickets, you know.
And 15 minutes is a big turnaround. It's a short turnaround, isn't it?
It is.
That you've got to drink what John drank last night, port and brandy and, and cheese and
biscuits. He had a fair bit, didn't he, at half time? I thought you were on dry January. Right, 6:45, we're going to take a short break. It's the Radio City Legends. Please get involved, especially if you've never called us before. 0151 4720967. Sharpie's desperate for a blue caller. But Reds,
I'm more
of course,
than happy to listen.
Oh,
in.
Welcome. Stay right there.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
10 to 7, Radio City Legends, John Aldridge and Graeme Sharp. Let's get straight back to the phone lines. We're going to make sure we give Blues equal opportunity tonight. So, Sharpie, we've got Tom in Litherland. Hello, Tom.
Sharpie, how are you?
All right, Tom.
Hi, nice big Tom. Oh, how are you doing? John, how are you?
I'm very well, Tom.
Well, to be honest, John, I've been listening since just the start of the show. It sounds like the Samaritans. So I thought I'd better go on. Just like, turn the mood around.
I might need some counselling afterwards, mate, I tell you, Tom.
Well, John, not to prolong the pain, because God knows we've been through it for so many years, but you lot. Yeah. But can I just ask you, last night with the Liverpool pigeon fanciers there at Anfield, because when that whistle went, what were the seats in the back? It sounded like someone let a flock of pigeons go there.
Well, what happened, soon as Shane Long put that one in, there was a mass exodus. Everyone just got up. There was about 3 or 4 minutes left, but it was done and dusted. Know what I mean? Everyone just got off the seats and started walking.
See,
out, you know,
John, as Sharpie will tell you, we're gluttons of punishment and sort of a little bit immune to it now. I mean, we'll hang on to the final whistle and then we'll start crying. But we'll, you know, but we'll hang around no matter what, because we just can't believe. You know, we see, we go with the attitude to the match, and this is what we enjoy about being Evertonians. We go to the match and we think, are we going to win, lose, or are we going to draw? What's going to happen? But Liverpool fans, you know, think about their own success, I suppose.
Come on, Tom, you're only talking about Everton. Come on, never mind Liverpool. We're only on for another half an hour.
No, come on, Graeme, I'll tell you what, I've waited ages for this. but it's just the way things are, I suppose. You know,
you've got to take the rough with the smooth in football, haven't you? Yeah, it's always the same, isn't it, Tom? Yeah.
Well, great. Listen, let's get over to the blue side, the happy side at the moment in the city. I'm happy with everything, with the club at the moment and what's happened with Mr. Mascheri and stuff. But I actually had the Reds say something to me the other day about Everton, and it's completely unexpected, but I thought, you know, what I've seen from what his perspective is now from the Reds side. He actually said, I hope you lot don't get that ground, you know, because if you do, you're going to take off. You are going to take off.
Sharpie?
Listen, all the talk is about the new ground. If we can get that, fabulous. It moves us on a little bit more. You never know. You never know how it can happen. Clubs have moved to new stadiums, have struggled. But certainly it's something that everybody's looking forward to. And if it can be at the site that we talked about at the dock, I think everybody will be happy.
Well, we've got to move on, Graeme, let's be honest. You know, the amount of times we've spoken about grounds and Tesco and Kirby, and we were moving here, there and everywhere, and it's just never come to fruition. And I think as Evertonians, you know, we're becoming a little bit frustrated. You know, we sort of like ticked over, and people have pointed fingers at us for years, and, you know, the lack of success. And I think this is a massive step for the club. I mean, we've got a good manager there. We've got, you know, Mr. Mascheri's coming, and he seems to be doing the business, and he's not scared of spending money. You know, the like thing I got about Coleman as well is he's not scared to cut people out. Yeah.
Listen, the way things are, you know, a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, people were doubting him, were questioning him, saying he's not this, he's not that, he doesn't know how to use substitutions, he's this. It's amazing, you know, and even from the Liverpool side as well, everybody was singing the praises of Klopp. Couple of results go against you, and then everybody, you get the doubters in and say, no, he's not this and he's not that. Every manager deserves time. You know, I think the people who are making an opinion on Koeman were making it far too soon. Yes, he's in a little patch at the moment where we're winning games and it's looking bright. Listen, in football, everybody will tell you, that can change very, very quickly. So at the moment, let's enjoy it, but we know there's still a lot of work ahead.
Tom, nice one. Thank you very much indeed. Got to move on. Loads of calls. We've got John in Chilwell. Just before we get John up here, what about these quotes from Jamie Carragher, who's questioned Daniel Sturridge's all-round contribution? The quote, actually, the longer quote from him, Sturridge is a completely different player now to when he first came to Liverpool, Carragher said after the game last night. You could link him with Sadio Mane when he first came, because the whole point of buying Sturridge under Brendan Rodgers was that he gave us penetration in behind. He had pace. But there was one occasion in the game where he fell over onto the hoardings in front of the cop, and I thought he had to get that ball. I don't know if his pace has completely gone, says Jamie Carragher. What are your thoughts on him?
It's a fair comment, because I think since he got that injury, was it with England, won it, since he's come back, there's a distinct lack of the sharpness he was at. He's not as explosive. He seems to, you know, really run within himself. You know, maybe he's frightened of whatever going again. I don't know. But it's got an effect on whether it's mentally or what, I don't know. But certainly what Jamie said, you know, it's... he's a shadow of his old self for what we've seen this season. I thought, obviously, with Mane going, I thought, great opportunity for him to come in and score, you know, 5 or 6 goals for us, which he's well capable of doing. But even last night, he's lost a belief in himself. I'm saying that about a few players at the moment. You know, a couple of chances there that he would have snapped up big time, you know.
Never grabbed him. Let's bring John into the conversation in Chilwell. Evening, John.
Evening. Well, I'm of the opinion, I was never a Sturridge fan. I haven't rang up over Sturridge, but I was never a Sturridge fan anyway, but he proved me wrong. 100 quid to John proved that. But I think Liverpool in the summer, and I wasn't one of these who was shouting from the rooftops in November and December, because I thought our squad was thin then. In the summer winter, I think we made a net profit. Something with the likes of Ben Techy Allen. Mm-hmm. He made a profit of £15 million. Now, I think James Milner is a great pro. He's one of those players that managers can trust. You know. But there was players that should have been bought in the summer that weren't, notably a left back and a striker. Because this hasn't happened overnight with Sturridge. Sturridge since the back end of 2014, Sturridge has scored 14 league goals. He scored other goals in cups and stuff, but we were crying out for a striker. But I know, like, Marnie was bought with a bit of pace, but Marnie was never a striker. We were crying out for a striker in the summer. Now, fellas were saying, because it was well documented, Marnie was going to be...
When you're saying striker, John, just because striker can mean different roles now, what type of striker are you on about? Well, an out striker, or, you know, because the players that he likes, he likes them to play, you know, all in different positions, Jürgen. So what sort, define the striker that you're on about, mate?
Well, obviously, there was a striker there. I don't think Liverpool would get him, because I don't think Liverpool got the pulling power that he once had. There was a player at Dortmund, that type of striker, Abbey.
I know, yeah, he's an excellent player.
Who can run in behind, similar to Sturridge, but Sturridge can't do it no more. Yeah, and where Liverpool was successful under Vitor Dzip is sides couldn't contain them, simply because... And even, I mean, you can't press a side that don't come out. No way, like Liverpool was successful against Arsenal, Tottenham, where the eye press, you can force defensive mistakes high off the pitch. You can't press against the likes of Burnley, Plymouth, Southampton last night. You can't press teams like that. So you need something special or someone to get beyond. And as I say, we're calling out for a left-back. We needed a striker, because with Sturridge's injury record, fellas are saying to me, we'll be all right when Manny goes to Africa. We've got Sturridge. I said, listen, you can't rely on Sturridge. He gets here too often. He can't be relied on.
And yet, how many other Premier League clubs would take Daniel Sturridge? Most of them?
We're all saying Klopp's defence. When the season started and the end of the transfer deadline, end of August, we had Sturridge, Ings, Origi, Firmino, Mane. Is there room for another one? Really? Honestly? I don't think so. Because we were at that time, hold on, just hear me out, John, because at that time we're thinking, well, all right, Origi was... done really well until he got injured last season. You know, you think, well, Firmino can lead the line if need be. Mane can play there or on the right. You know, Sturridge, because, and Ings, you know, unfortunately, you know, he was coming back and then he's gone again. You know, you can't foresee that. But at the time, you know, you're talking about 5 or 6 strikers there. So, you know, and there's no way he was going to get another one. Left back, I can understand your spot on there with that one, John.
Yeah, but what you've got to remember, you knew in December that Ings was out for the season. You knew Marnie was going, so you'd never had 6 strikers.
No, he had 3, didn't he? He had, still had Sturridge, Origi, you know, you'd still think, like you were saying before, Sturridge is capable of going on a run, which he hasn't done. But no, and then you've got Firmino. So I don't know. It's looking now, you can say, yeah, in hindsight, oh, yeah. Because Sturridge in this month has been poor. Origi's been poorer. You know, Firmino scored a couple of goals, but he's just been indifferent. You know, but it's the end of the month now. It's at times, if you knew that beginning of the month, then you say, yeah, we could bring someone in.
John, that's not hindsight at all. You knew in like September. You knew in September that Sturridge couldn't be trusted with his injuries. You knew Ings was out for the season, and you knew Marnie going in Africa. Mm-hmm. That's not hindsight, John. That hasn't come about since Christmas. We've known about that since September.
No, I know where you're coming from, but I thought at the end of the day when Mane went, I went, well, do we need another striker? I think we can get away with it. I thought we could get away with it. I really did. With the strikers that we've got at the club, in the way the manager plays, you know.
All right, truthfully, you've managed, Graeme Sharp's managed. I don't buy into this. I mean, I'm not having a go at Klopp. I'm not. Wenger was the same. I don't know a manager on the planet who doesn't like signing players. I know all this, like, there's no value there, or it's not the time. I just, because to me, whether you buy Andy Carroll in September, or, sorry, August, or you buy him in January, the calendar of the month shouldn't determine whether you're a risk. There's a risk in any big signing. There's a risk in any, and the calendar of the month shouldn't determine it.
The strikers you're on about, if he was going to get a striker, and he thought what you're thinking, then... You know, you're talking about the lad at Dortmund, it's hard to say his name, and other ones like him. You've got no chance to win the Champions League. All the top strikers, you've got no chance of not bring someone in it just for the sake of it. You know, who's not going to take the club to a different level. You can do that in the summer when you've got better options. But in January, the options aren't there, John. It's very, very rare that you get another Suarez or Coutinho like we did in them. You know, people say they might be out there, but... I'm sure Liverpool's looked everywhere, and if they were there, I'm sure the manager would have brought him in.
Well, obviously, I mean, I don't think he was an out-and-out striker, and I don't think Liverpool were ever going to compete with the likes of the PSG. But there was mention of Draxler, a type of, like a Firmino type who could play along the front three.
Yeah.
They were never getting him. Cause
no
they
chance.
With the wages. But what, as you just said there, we signed Suarez, we signed Sturridge, we signed Coutinho in the window. Any window, John, shouldn't be determined by the month of the year.
John, you made some top points. Thank you very much indeed. And you didn't even mention Simon Mignolet, which was probably a world record for you. John in Chorwell. There you go.
See you, John.
Off he goes. Thank you very much indeed.
It's so hard. And
he makes a relatively decent point, doesn't he?
Yeah, but the studies thing is, you know, one for me that, you know, he's went from being like top drawer when it's Suarez and you thought, you're playing against Liverpool, there's those two. You know, they were a handful. I think now he's having to adapt his game and I don't think it suits him. I don't think the way Liverpool play now necessarily suits Sturridge.
With the work rate?
And everything like that. And I've said it before, you know, what does Klopp do? Klopp wants his strikers to do a set. And you see Sturridge now getting into positions where, crazy, the centre-halves are like, I'm delighted to see you right back in there, trying to join in midfield. Getting on the shoulder, as Aldo used to do, and Rush used to do, that's where you're most dangerous. That's when he played with Suarez. He was on the shoulder and he was making little darting runs and they were in. That's when he was at his strength. Now, for me, whether it be he's lost a little bit with his injuries, whether it's in his head, as John said as well, but he's certainly not the same player.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure if Klopp deep down will keep him. I think he may well move on.
At 7:03, you want to get involved in the debate and discussion, 0151 4720967. Aldo and Sharp, it's the Radio City Legends.
Our Merseyside Legends, John Aldridge and Graeme Sharp. Call now, 0151 472 0967. Red and blue, banter and debate, the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7:08, got quite a few callers still to come. I'm Steve Hothersall, we've got John Aldridge and Graeme Sharp as always. Radio City Legends, let's do Look Who's Scoring. Boys, how are we doing?
Yeah. Mm.
And actually, I've got a problem with this because Dave is making these increasingly too hard, I think. Oh. I think Dave's trying to play himself off against you. If either of you get this, I'll be absolutely astounded.
Okay.
Let's have a go. Dave says you're just thick, the pair of you. Right, for 5 points, who is this player? Born in 1990. 1990, so he's not that old. He's only ever won one cap for his country, despite winning three league titles and two Champions Leagues in a European country. Wow, that's some going, isn't it?
Three league titles and one Champions League.
Three league titles and two Champions League in a European country.
So it's not in this, obviously not in this league. No. All right.
Okay, born in 1990. 4 points, he's played 54 Premier League games. And he scored 14 goals as well. It's not a bad ratio, is it? Striker? Attacking midfielder? What do you think he is? 4 points. 54 Premier League games and 14 goals to boot. Any ideas, boys?
No.
Going
a bit quick, aren't you?
Oh, do you need a bit more time at this stage of life?
Currently
playing in England, where he's yet to win a trophy. Yeah? We've not actually put what club he's playing for in England. I think we could have that on, couldn't we? Do you think he'd give it away, Dave? Yeah. Mm. Dave says that will give it away. I might throw that in at the very end.
27.
Mm. Had a trophyless spell. This is for 2 points. This would take John back in front in the race. Had a trophyless spell in Italy with Roma and AC Milan as well. Right, so make sure one of you gets it. I'm going to add something on the end of our final clue.
Yes.
No,
I've got no idea.
Not Barini, is it? No, can't be him, can he? No chance.
Who? Who did you say then?
Barini, can't be him.
That was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful, just wasn't it? Really was.
Right, all of his honours have been with Barcelona and Ajax, and he currently plays for Stoke City.
Bojan.
Oh, Sharpie, you got in there.
It's a grand old team to play for.
Would you have got it without the Stoke City clue?
No, I don't think I would have.
No.
But now, looking back,
I didn't even know Bojan was at Ajax.
Yeah. All those honours with Barcelona and Ajax as well. I think that's given Sharpie, what, a 14-12 lead, so you're not too far off.
No, it's okay.
You're a little bit like Liverpool chasing Chelsea.
Yeah, well, we've got enough time until we get to the Christmas party.
Right, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock. What can you tell us about Anton Doncor, Sharpie?
Oh, yes.
We've just signed
Anton
him on loan.
Doncor. German under 20 international.
Strange one. It seems if he's going straight into like David Unsworth's squad, you know, rather than the first team squad, so it's a strange one when you're bringing a young player over on loan, you know, from Wolfsburg just to play in your under 23 side. I think it's a strange one. I honestly don't think he's been bought for the senior team. I might be wrong, but I don't know anything about him. Nothing at all. I think he's played one game for Wolfsburg, if that. Just standing in their academy teams as well, so no, I'm not too sure about
19
it.
19 years old might make an appearance in the first team or not then.
I don't know, Steve. I'm not sure. I can't get the logic out of it. Obviously, somebody wants some. I'm not sure if they're buying them for now or in the future or whatever. I think
they'll have a look at him in training, maybe.
Yeah,
just
maybe,
see how he
deals in under-23s and, you know, in that team, and then maybe do something at the end of the season, just like basically like a trial.
That's Anton Doncor, who's joined on loan. Right, let's get back to the phone lines. We've got a blue. Oh, no, we haven't. It's a red. James, who's in Heighton. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, James.
Hello.
Hello, James. All right.
Hiya, John. John, just going to take my phone away. Hello.
Go on, mate. Go on.
All right, mate. I'm just phoning overall. Basically, I think it's all a big... everyone's really... what's the word? They're all over-exaggerating. I know we've had a bad slump in the last month. But if you look from last year, from now, as you just said before, John, we've got a well better day points tally. We've scored more than any other club in the Premier League.
I know, and
I think all these people who are phoning up over Klopp, I think most of them are Evertonians, to be honest, mate, because I've actually known...
We wouldn't waste our time, James, don't worry about that.
there you go. But I just think everyone's really over-exaggerating and panicking a bit too much. Klopp's the man, and I think you know that yourself. And
yeah.
These two fans know Klopp's the man. Klopp will sort us out, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you know, no, we need to panic at this present moment. Obviously, he's got quite a bit of work to do, you know, to get us back on track.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely,
with the players,
definitely.
But you know, that happens in football. It's been a really horrendous month for us. So
I just didn't realise how much we were going to miss Mane, because we do miss him. Because it's not just him as a player; it's what he brings to the team as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, as I said before, he opens up defences and he gives space to other players. Now, if you've got someone down that right-hand side, like, you know, Origi or Daniel Sturridge, who's not, you know, not got the pace to stretch teams, then it doesn't give that little bit of space for a player to move into. When you move, you pass a move and you spin past people, all of a sudden things open up for you.
Yeah.
You know, and we haven't had that.
The thing with it, I know everyone's going on about Sturridge. The thing with Sturridge, I just think last night, I think Southampton were brilliant. I think Southampton would have given any team the Premier League last night, would have been a struggle for anyone to beat Southampton. They played brilliant.
Mm,
it reminds me, John
well.
Wright, you know, when we beat Chelsea in the semi-final and we were gritty and determined and everything like that. It was just like that. They just worked the socks off, and sometimes you just got to give the other team credit.
Yeah, no, they did. But, you know, it's a little bit alarm that a lot of teams that come to Anfield these days, you know, this month, they're all seem to be playing out the skin. You know, Plymouth, Swansea out the skin. They're all playing out the skin. You know, no one's having an off day. That's what we perhaps need the next couple of days. Next couple of games, sorry, you know, Wolves and then Chelsea in particular.
Even Leeds did all right, didn't they?
Leeds
took us until
Leeds
75th minute.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But there's not many teams going to go to Anfield and go toe-to-toe with Liverpool.
No, they all do the same thing now, don't
they? Yeah, there's only going to be one winner. You know, so the more teams that you get to see come to Anfield will try and do what Manchester United done, just sat behind the ball, Southampton as well, and just hit them on the break. You know, so, you know, the teams who are daft enough to go and say, listen, we'll slug it out with Liverpool, we'll get punished and they'll lose. So
well, that's the reason we're beating the big teams, because they're coming to have a go, like the likes of City, Arsenal, all that. We're beating them.
Mm. But you know what? I don't think Chelsea will. You watch Chelsea next year. Yeah. They will play exactly the same.
Do you think so, though? Do you think
absolutely.
So? With them being top of the league?
Absolutely. They will get behind the ball. They'll think, well, if we get a draw against Liverpool, it won't be too bad. But if we can get beat by the last two teams we got beat by, then we've got every chance to go. And then if we hit them on the break with the likes of the two players, Hazard and Costa in particular, we'll cause them problems.
So you wait and see. It's a perfect game to come back from.
Well, it is. The only thing is they play 3-5, well, 1-1, if you like. Whether that has any bearing or what might help us in one way, we'll have to wait and see.
James, great to hear from you. You've got quite
Cheers,
a few
James.
More callers to come on. Thank you very much indeed. Liam, who's in Anfield, wants to make his point to you, lads. Welcome along, Liam.
Hello.
Hi, Liam.
Hi.
You all right? It's just about, I haven't been listening to the show up to now, John. I've just been in the house for a minute. I don't know if anyone's had anything to say about Sturridge yet. Just where do we start with him, to be honest?
Well, go on, you just tell us what you think. Think about him, Liam.
What it is, it's just like, just what I get from him is body language. And obviously, it's the interview we done with Jeff Steves the week or something ago. It never mentions the team. It's always him. Another thing, just when there's that many people been just wanting you to run more for that long, you just expect them to do it by now, wouldn't you? I just don't understand. If it must be some sort of person, there's so many people that want you to do something and you still not do it. It shows the type of person you are to me. Do you get that?
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know what's going on. When we spoke about him for most of the show, but certainly, you know, even when he's not playing well, the chances that have come along the last couple of days, a few games, you know, you expect him to snap them up. And he's not doing that for whatever maybe his confidence is low. I don't know, you know, but certainly the one thing you have to do, regardless of your stature and what you are, is to go out on that pitch and you give everything. Every single thing that you can give, you know, do you want it badly enough? You know, that's the thing where you got to look in the mirror at players all the time. You know, whatever club, get in the mirror in the morning, do you want it? How bad do you want it this game? And sometimes you look at players, you think, do they want it badly enough? No, they can only answer that themselves.
Yeah, just for a 27-year-old in the peak of his career, just the love for the game just doesn't seem to be there anymore, does it? It just doesn't seem to have football. It just seems to be like what caps he's putting on his head and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it, mate, when you know how devastating he can be. We all know that. You know, Barnes even, you know, put in the paper yesterday, you know, Daniel Sturridge should play. He's the match winner.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're not seeing it anymore, though, are we?
But he had the chances. He did that. As poorly as you'd probably say he did play. Hey, not the only one, by the way. He had the chances to make the difference, and he unfortunately, you know, he failed to take.
Do you think, do you think he needs an extended run in the team to say, listen, for the next 10 games, you're going to play? And then just say, whatever happens, for the next 10 games, it's up to you. I'm giving you a chance for 10 games. It's up to you how you do it.
Perhaps.
In and out all the time, in and out perhaps. The time. He's not maybe doing the world of good.
I don't think, maybe. Maybe he's lost his belief. I don't know. Maybe he's not happy because he's not been number one player. I don't know. But certainly, the manager says, he could have said, till Manny comes back, I'm going to play. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he should play. He's hardly played this season. I think he should play at the weekend against Wolves. Mm-hmm. And I think Origi should play against Wolves. You know, we've got other players there like Lucas and Clavin and Gomez and Moreno. We've got a lot of seasoned pros there that he can play who need games, you know, before Chelsea. Not worry about Chelsea when it comes and all that, and keep your players back for that game, obviously. But there's players, you know, that can really make a difference for Wolves, and him in particular, and Origi, you know.
So you're got to come expecting to the a lot table. Of change for that game.
I don't know who's in the back of the manager's mind for the Chelsea game. We probably know the team, if you're thinking about it yourself. What maybe one position that you're not too sure, or two positions. But certainly, you know, he can play some kids, but there's a lot of seasoned pros who need game time. Mm. And Sturridge being one of them needs games as a striker. You need match time to get goals, and goals breeds confidence and gets you your belief back. And Origi, he needs to start believing in himself, you know what I mean, and start getting himself sorted as well, because we're missing them too big time.
Thank you, Liam. Great call. Great to hear from you. Just going to try and squeeze one more call in. Haven't mentioned in the show so far Trent Alexander-Arnold. I thought he was excellent going forward. And some of the balls he whipped in, if you had a striker who, you know, who's eager to, you know, head the ball, get up there.
Totally agree. I totally agree. I told you, but he's probably arguably our best player. You know, the lad's got a tremendous future going forward. He was good. He had the urgency about him defensively. You know, he was okay. The first 20 minutes or so, he had to get to grips with the wide fella, who's a decent player. Redmond, wasn't he? Mm. But you know, you could knock him defensively and going forward. And he's a real talent for the future of Liverpool. And he's local, which is brilliant.
Let's get a final call. Just before we do, Dave's feeding me all this anti-Liverpool stats. Mm-hmm. He said you've spent £91 million on Southampton players since 2014 and you still can't beat them.